now try to imagine yourself in that place at that moment in time, that moment in history that changed the world forever, when the sacrifice of all sacrifices came and took his rightful place in this world to live and to die with great joy, yet with great agony, great celebration, yet with great indignation, shame, paying the ultimate price for every thought, every evil deed, everything that goes against the very nature of God himself, that this Jesus, this Christ, this Son came anyway, gave his life anyway, wrought a work that only he could work when no one else could do it, and remained faithful to it. You could depend on him then. You can depend on him every day, every moment, and every hour, even today, that he is God, that he is the Son of the living God, that he changes lives forever, and he is worthy to be praised. Now would you rejoice? Now would you clap your hands? Now would you praise his name? I'm going to ask our musicians just to stay close, and you can be seated for a moment. Very familiar passage of scripture, Luke chapter 2, verse 4. The word tells us that Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. We know geographically that there were two Bethlehems in Palestine, two Bethlehems in the region. It's important that we understand place and timing and the call of God and the heritage and the history of the Savior Jesus Christ, and who and what he is to us. The word went on to say this, that he was there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. I told you last week that probably 1/12 of Nazareth was in that party that made its way to Bethlehem to be set up, to be registered in order to pay taxes. They were probably not alone. Mary may have felt alone. She carried a weight. She carried a heavy burden. She already knew within her own heart, her own life, that this Jesus was to be the Christ, was to be the Son of the living God. I think today that I'm sure that as she carried this weight of the world upon her shoulders and inside her body and carried this Son, that it was more than just a physical weight. If you've been pregnant, you know the journey. You know what it takes. But I think she bore the weight of the world, in essence, upon her shoulders as well. She knew that this was going to be the most important baby ever born in the history of mankind. I think I'm speaking to some people this morning. Maybe you've carried the weight of expectation for a long time in your life. You felt like God promised you something a long time ago, maybe 20 months, 20 years, 25 years, 30. But you've carried this weight of expectation, and it seems like that the longer you carry it, the more frustrated you become. The longer you carry it, the heavier that it gets. And you wonder, will I ever deliver on the promise that I feel like God has spoken into my life? Will I ever know the overwhelming joy? Will I know what it is to bring forth? Will I know what it is to live within the joy and the power of the promise and not just the weight of the burden that I carry? And I think this morning that maybe this is the year, maybe this is the moment, maybe this very day is what sets you up for what is to come in 2024, that God said, I will deliver on the weight of your expectation. If you'll believe me, if you'll take final steps, if you'll make that final preparation, I will deliver into your life what it is you have carried for so long, what it is that has weighted you down for so long. God said, I'll birth it and it will come to fruition, and you can find great joy in Jesus Christ as the Lord and the deliverer of every promise in your life. How many of you believe today that God keeps promises? Amen? I don't believe you have to carry away and continue to carry and continue to carry, that God will birth it in your life if you will allow him to. I want to encourage you today. The word went on to say, she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. I thought about Mary and that stable and where they were. And I think many times we have probably glamorized this. It suits us. It helps us. Our children put on their productions, and we love it, and we should. It's a wonderful time, celebration. But I think probably for Mary in that moment and Joseph in that moment, that we have glamorized this time, that it was what it was. It was a dirty barn, and there was not a crib in which to lay his head. There was just a cattle stall and a manger. And it was probably in a pretty grimy, dirty type of situation and moment that Mary brings forth this baby Jesus and puts him in the manger. And I am thankful this morning that there are times when God chose to birth promises in my life that I didn't feel like I was Miss Sarah in the right situation or the right surroundings to receive the fulfillment of God's promise in my life, and he birthed it anyway. And I think this morning that we go through challenges in life. We go through challenges in our families. We go through challenges in our church. We go through challenges in churchdom and within the kingdom and trying to be alerted to and understanding God's seasoning and God's timing, what it is he's trying to do and what it is he's saying to us. And we want that perfect place for the promises to come forth. But I am thankful that God can birth something in you and birth something in me, Miss Glenda, when everything's not perfect and the season doesn't seem perfect. And we've been through some struggles in our life, and we've been through some tough times, and we've been through some places where we didn't understand, why am I here? Why am I? You're telling me we can't find one hotel room in this city? We can't find one decent bed for the Son of God. Is this really the Son of God that I carry? Is this really the promise of God that Joseph and I are about to parent? That we can't even find a bed to rest our head, and we're in a barn with a manger? This is it. I came to encourage you today that God loves you and he cares about you. And when surroundings are not perfect and situations don't seem perfect and everything doesn't seem to be lining up just like we think it should be when it's anointed and when it's the power of God and the glory of God, and we're at our weakest point, that God said, I'll bring forth my promise even in those moments, even in those hours, even in those situations. I can do the incredible in your life. I'll birth a promise in your life even when it doesn't seem like it's time for it to happen or the perfect place for it to happen. And then God shows us something else. Go on, there were in the same country, and behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in that manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in that manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This is one of my favorite parts of Scripture. It was something that really came to life to me just a few years ago as I learned and researched more about the Migdal Eder. I told you about this last year, that these shepherds were sacrificial lamb shepherds. They probably resided somewhere between 5 to 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, somewhere just between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And the sheep that they raised were always sacrificial sheep, sacrificial lambs. These were the lambs that were raised up spotless and pure, and then they would be sacrificed in the temple as worship unto God. And we know that when Jesus came, he came as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the shepherd of the sheep, and that he was and is the perfect sacrificial lamb, and that his blood would be shed. He would become the one and only sacrifice that we would ever need in order to get us into the presence of God. And so it is to these shepherds, it's these men, it would seem like that he would come to kings and speak to princes and that he would raise up presidents and kings and queens to deliver. No, it's these shepherds. They understand what it is to sacrifice the blood. They understand what it is to get dirty with the sacrificial sheep. They understand what it is to pay the price. And year in and year out, they carry the blood and they carry the lambs into the presence of the high priest. And it is to these shepherds, 5 to 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, that the angels of God appear. And it is to these shepherds that they declare, listen, this is the story of the ages. This will transform lives forever. I am bringing revelation to you. Listen, sometimes, folks, Mary's the one paying the price in the barn. Wondering, what am I doing here? Why is there no bed? Why have I reached this lowly place to have this baby that's supposed to be the Son of God? And she's paying the price for the joy that will come to others. The glorious revelation might not have been in that manger, might not have been in that barn on that cold night or whatever night it was. But she was the setup for the Savior of the world. And those shepherds, God's glory was appearing somewhere. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that maybe this last year, maybe this year coming is the year that you pay the price. It's the year that you shed the blood. It's the year that you take care of the sacrifice. Maybe it's the year that you carry the promise and you wonder, this is where I'm supposed to deliver? This is what I'm supposed to do? And all the while, you're struggling with what it is you feel like God's called you to do. That the glory of the Lord is being revealed to your brother, being revealed to your sister, to your son, to your daughter. God is using you, but he's setting up someone else to be the confirming voice, the affirming voice in your life that God's at work. And the word says that these are the shepherds that God sends to Mary. And it is there that they affirm the voice of God and the call of God and the promise of God upon her life and upon the life of Joseph and what it is they are to do. So this morning, listen, make sure that you're listening to the right voices and be assured of this very fact, that God will send affirming voices to you. This voice may be discouraging. That voice may be discouraging. People try to talk you out of this and talk you out of that ministry. But today, God will speak to you. And I still believe with all of my heart that he's speaking to me. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God still speaks? Do you believe that God still confirms his promise and affirms his word at the right place, at the right time, with the right people? Don't deny. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. God will send the right voices into your life. And they will affirm you. And they will affirm the promises of God in your life, and they will help raise you up at the right place at the right time, and you will know that God is indeed at work in your life. Stand with me this morning. I'm so thankful. for the Migdalia there. I'm thankful for those places that just make sense. It's more than just a fairy tale. It's more than just another story. God, I love you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you, God, for sons and daughters that care. I pray, God, that this year you will give us more Marys and more Josephs. That whatever the price may be, however many days it takes to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem, however, wherever the promise has to be born, whether it's in the palace of a king or it's in a manger in an old barn outside of Bethlehem. I pray, God, give us men and women who will deliver, who will deliver, who will deliver on your promise in their lives. And God, they'll do it with passion and they'll do it with joy. And that, God, they'll let you dictate the circumstances in, and you do the setup, God. Because we know that somewhere you have those divine appointments and moments with angels speak into the lives of shepherds who are waiting and will hear and rejoice in you and declare the glories of God because you chose to visit us like only you can. I pray that you would personalize that today. I pray, God, that you would do that in the life of every believer in this house. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I believe that God has a promise for my life, and I'm just not sure that I'm at the place where I can hear it, but I want to. I need to hear from him today, tomorrow, this coming year, and I want to be in the right relationship with him so that I can hear his voice as he speaks into my life. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? No one's looking around, but just, God bless you. I need to hear, God bless you. So that I don't miss him. So that I don't grow weary in well-doing. So that I don't get lost in the dirty barn and a manger reserved for cattle feed. That I remember that this is the promise that will change my life forever. I pray, God, if there's one here today that does not know you, that they would pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world. I confess that I am a sinner. I've lived a life of mangers and old barns and situations that were not perfect. Oh God, if you'll come into my heart and you'll come into my life, if you'll save me from myself, I confess every sin and every shortcoming. And I confess today that you are Lord and Savior of my life, and that every sin is forgiven because I've asked you to do that very thing. And I'm free and I'm whole for all that is to come in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.